This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We continue our discussion with members of the Little Rock Nine. Tomorrow marks the 50th anniversary of the integration of Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas. Nine black students marched through a hostile white crowd and integrated the school. I spoke with three of the nine. Melba Beals, chair of the communications department at Dominican University of California, Elizabeth Eckford, a probation officer in Little Rock, and Terrence Roberts, a professor of psychology at Antioch University in Los Angeles. I asked Professor Roberts what it was like to look back at the group's struggle half a century later.
Our struggle in 57 was certainly worth it, no question about it.
No question about it.
We were responding to the needs of the time. And I think young people today have the same responsibility to respond to the needs of the time. Whether they will do that or not, or how they will do that, is up to them.
Little Rock was different and significant and worth it because it set a new tone. As I said before, it changed the playing field. It was a notice to all the states across the South. Integrate, follow the law, or there are options we can take. And until that time, there have been no options. And so what we did was speed it up. The contribution was, we set a different tone. We said, okay, move ahead now. It's time to go this way. We are not going to stand outside your school pleading with you until you say welcome one day, because it's not going to happen. We're going to possess. We're going to take. We're going to claim our own equality.
What about the whole question of where the civil rights movement, or some people call it a human rights movement, goes from here? We've talked a little bit about recent Supreme Court decisions about desegregation, talked a little bit about the changing nature of the population of the school system. But if you are a parent, a teacher, a community leader who looks at the schools and says, we haven't come far enough, how do you push forward an agenda of equality?
Across the country, there's a challenge of how do you provide an equitable education for all students, regardless of socioeconomic status of the community they live in. And teachers are challenged to intentionally teach all students. But, that's one thing that No Child Left Behind does, is it challenges and makes accountable school systems for the end result of all students.
Well, we certainly hope that's the goal. I'm not quite sure it is.
No, I would agree with Terry. I think that across the country, every parent has to look at what their child is getting. And part of what the Supreme Court is saying by taking some of the stiffness and the snow out of Brown is that, okay, we may not need to go that way. But we, as people of consciousness and color, must look at it and say, that is the way we're going. We're going to educate. It was very interesting. When I started to turn around and say, okay, I'm going to be a professor, I'm going to teach, it was actually Terry who helped to mentor me to move ahead and do that.
Before we let you go, if you had to put a message into a time capsule, and I'm sure that you've had this chance in some ways with your own writings and with the speaking that you do, if you had to put something into a time capsule for a class at Central High, say 100 years from now, telling them how to treat each other fairly, with justice, with compassion, what kind of message would you leave? Ms. Eckford, let me start with you.
Well, I would tell them that they themselves can be very, very powerful. They generally don't know that, but they can be very, very powerful. And I point to an example for me when I would go all day long being set apart, being alone, and the people who weren't hitting me were turning their backs. But in the last class of the day, this shy person felt comfortable in a speech class because of what was happening there for me. There were people who reached out to me daily, and that was the only time that happened.
Professor Roberts?
Well, I would share some wisdom that came my way when I was in first grade. My first grade teacher told all of us in that class that we had to take executive responsibility for our own learning, mm-hmm. and that learning was important because with learning, you multiplied the available options in your life. Without learning, you're forced to use the same options over and over. So lifelong learning would be my message.
And Professor Beals.
Namaste is how I end my book. The God in me sees the God in you. The only way we will ever make it is if we all understand that if one of us is enslaved, if one Iraqi is enslaved and not recognized and not being seen for himself, we are all enslaved. And so the only answer is to love and respect yourself, and to love and respect your colleagues, because seeing equal is being equal. And only when you understand the value of everybody around you do we get the equality that we're going for. And certainly one way of perpetuating that is what Dr. Roberts said. You've got to be committed to enhancing your own self, empowering yourself to claim your equality. It isn't given to you. It's a claim.
Professor Beals, Ms. Eckford, Professor Roberts, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was Melba Beals, chair of the Communications Department at Dominican University of California. Also, Elizabeth Eckford, a probation officer in Little Rock, and Terrence Roberts, a professor of psychology at Antioch University in Los Angeles. They were all part of the Little Rock Nine. That group of black students integrated Little Rock Central High School half a century ago this week. To see historic pictures of the Little Rock Nine and to discuss their legacy, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org.